35. Tariana.
You should be doing this,
Marcus said, shifting where he sat next to her. His armor was in a pile in front of him, and he'd spent the past hour rubbing oil into the leather straps and sharpening blades while the rest of them gambled. I'm busy. She held up her cards. But while you're at it, this could use a sharpen. Pulling her knife from her belt, she tossed it on the ground in front of him. The men laughed. And after casting his eyes up at the tarp above them, Marcus picked up her knife and began sharpening it. He was relaxed, but rather than tempering her own anxieties, his calmness made her nervous. Glancing at the faces of the other players, she tossed a gold coin into the pile between them, watching as the others met her bet. Scouts made the best gambling companions because they always seemed to have more coin to wager, less opportunity to spend it, she supposed, though Gibson had told her it was because they were risk takers. I'm out. Quintus stretched his arms upward and to bed.
Same,
two of the others said, one giving Marcus a sly smile.
I don't suppose we get to spend tomorrow swimming, do we, sir?
You suppose, right.
There were mock groans, but no one argued.
Ready to call it quits?
Tariana's remaining opponent asked, his eyes gleaming in the firelight.
And surrender such a pot?
She laughed.
Hardly.
Fishing around in her pocket, she found another gold coin, though it was her last. This game was getting a bit rich for her blood. Her opponent bit at his bottom lip as he looked again at his cards. Then his eyes flicked to Marcus, who was examining the edge of her neglected knife blade. Tariana's senses perked. Stakes getting too high? Might be time for you to fold, my friend. Her opponent snorted, then pulled a coin that glinted gold from his belt pouch, flicking it into the pile hard enough that it all went sliding every which way. But Tariana was a master at sleight of hand, and she tracked which way the coin slid, the sight of the glittering dragon on its face giving her pause. Marcus had forbidden anyone to bring sell currency across the endless seas. At the sight of the coin, memory danced across her vision. Memory of Ashok holding a handful of golden coins stamped with that very dragon. Her pulse raced, a thousand questions burning in her mind, but getting the right answers required the right approach. And the absence of a certain Legatus. Reaching across him for a bottle that was sitting on a log, she turned her face to Marcus, their eyes meeting.
Go,
she mouthed. Marcus's eyes narrowed, but rather than arguing, he rose to his feet.
Don't drink it all. Dawn comes early.
Yeah, yeah. She refilled her cup, waiting for him to be out of earshot before turning back to her opponent. Reaching down, she plucked up the dragon, turning the gold coin over in her hands. Strange to see Sel clink on this side of the seas. Thought it was forbidden. He made a face.
Before you go ratting me out, I didn't bring it. Wanted in a card game in a brothel in Aracom, off one of the girls who works there.
Why would I rat you out? Makes no difference to me.
He shrugged.
You're getting a bit of a reputation for stirring up trouble.
It was a struggle not to flinch.
The only thing I've a reputation for is fleecing you lot at cards. And on that subject, let's see what you got.
He flattened his cards against the dirt, revealing a good hand. A very good hand. But some of her reputation she'd earned. Laying her cards down, she smirked. Better luck next time. Her opponent swore, his face twisting in frustration as she scooped the pile of coins toward her and shoved them into her pockets, though the dragon she palmed, not wanting to let it out of her sight. Marcus returned to camp. his eyes questioning as they met hers, but she only shook her head, because the coin was proof of nothing other than that someone had violated Marcus's orders.
"Lights out, boys,"
Marcus said softly to those who remained awake, unrolling his bedding and climbing into it. She briefly entertained the idea of setting out her own bedroll next to him, but then thought better of it and set it out between Quintus and the fire, climbing beneath the blanket. All night, she tossed and turned, sleep evading her. And as the faint glow of dawn emerged in the east, Tariana pulled the coin from her pocket, running her thumb over the shiny gold surface and its familiar, snarling dragon, before turning it over and scowling at the sight of Lucius Cassius's face. The mint had done a fair job capturing his likeness. His profile revealed the weak chin he'd passed on to Titus. The resemblance between the two was marked, especially given these freshly minted coins bore none of the wear of those that had been long in circulation. Because these coins weren't in circulation at all. Tariana sat bolt upright, Quintus grumbling and shifting away from her at the motion, but she barely noticed. Hundreds of coins were minted in honor of a new consul, but they didn't enter circulation until a fortnight after the elections, in conjunction with a ceremony where patricians exchanged a coin bearing the visage of the prior consul for one of the new. Which meant these hadn't been in circulation when the Quincents and the Cell Fleet had left Cilendriel, which meant these had been taken from the highly secure mint itself. And there was only one person who could have managed that. Lucius Cassius. Tugging on her boots and fastening her belt, Tariana glanced around to ensure the men were still sleeping, then outwards to ensure those on watch weren't watching her. Picking up a pebble, she threw it at Marcus. It struck his shoulder and, always a light sleeper, he stirred. But it wasn't until she'd hit him a second time that he lifted his head, blinking blearily as he focused on her. She tossed him the coin, watching as he frowned at the dragon, giving an annoyed shake of his head before looking to her askance. "Turn it over," she mouthed, and he flipped it over, frown deepening as he held it up to the growing light. It only took him a heartbeat to come to the same conclusion she had, the muscles in his jaw tightening, the hand not holding the coin balling into a fist. Then he looked back to her and jerked his chin toward the edge of the camp. Tariana stepped carefully around the sleeping men, Marcus belting on his weapons as he joined her at the perimeter.
"I'm going to take one last look around the city," he said to one of the men on watch. "Start packing up, and we can head back to Aerocom when I return."
The man nodded.
"Give me a moment, sir, and I'll have an escort readied." "I don't need an escort. But I'm not going far, and I won't be long. If I'm not back in a half hour, feel free to come looking."
Obviously torn between what was worse, arguing with his commander, or allowing said commander to wander enemy territory alone, the young man said,
"A half hour, sir, and don't hold me responsible if Quintus comes looking sooner."
Catching Tariana's wrist, Marcus tugged her into the jungle, nodding at those on watch as they passed. "This is going to raise eyebrows," she muttered.
"Least of my concerns. Walk faster."
As it had the first time she'd seen it, the overgrown city seemed to appear from nowhere. The buildings were crumbling, vines and roots forcing their way between blocks of stone, then pulling them down into the damp earth as though the jungle intended to consume any evidence of civilization. And yet, despite that, it wasn't hard to see where roads and streets had once been, and she and Marcus wound their way deeper and deeper into this place that had been lost to time and conquest. Reaching a spot where there was a break in the tree canopy, Marcus paused in a circle of growing sunlight and turned to her, waiting. The coins Ashok had,
were gold cell dragons, she said, without preamble, and lots of them. I didn't get a close look, but I remember them being shiny enough that they'd either been polished or were of fresh mint.
These, he said, holding up the coin, weren't in circulation when we left. I couldn't even have accessed them. The mint is a fortress to rival Lessendor.
But I bet the consul could have, and he sure as shit didn't give them to Felix. Silence.
It wasn't Felix.
The words came out of Marcus in a whoosh of breath. Then all the color drained from his face.
It wasn't Felix.
He swayed, and worried he was about to faint, Tariana caught his arms. This is good news. Marcus flinched, pulling away from her.
I screwed up, he muttered. What have I done?
Titus played you, she corrected. And not just you, but now we know the truth, and while it might not be proof enough to hang him, at least you know who it was, and who to watch. Her skin abruptly prickled, and she panned the surrounding jungle.
I know.
Marcus looked ready to vomit.
But the things I said, he's never going to forgive me. I don't deserve to be forgiven.
He doubled over.
What have I done?
The sharp clack-clack of pebbles falling against stone filled Tariana's ears, and she turned away from Marcus, searching their surroundings. Did you hear that? Marcus straightened, hand going to the weapon at his waist, his eyes wet but focused. Quintus? It was possible he'd come after them.
If it was Quintus, we wouldn't have heard him.
Marcus scanned the overgrown buildings, and Tariana's skin crawled with sudden certainty that they were being watched, and that the eyes doing the watching weren't friendly. The soft scrape of metal caught her attention, and she looked down to see that Marcus had his gladius in hand. How long until your men come looking for us?
Soon enough,
he answered loudly in Aranoquian,
and knowing Quintus, he won't be alone.
Then softly, and in cell, he said,
get ready to fight.
Fear pulsed through her veins, but Tariana pulled her knife, her fingers flexing on the hilt. Should we head back to... A shadow dropped from above. Screaming, she flung her weight against Marcus, sending them both rolling into a broken fountain. Scrambling to her feet, Tariana whirled around to face their attacker, only to find a striped tiger crouched where they'd been standing. Run! The words tore from her lips, and then they were sprinting, weaving through the streets, but behind was the thud of heavy paws. There was no chance they could outrun it. Leaping over a tree root, she bent to pick up a heavy rock. She twisted and threw it hard, hitting the pursuing cat in the foreleg and sending it tumbling.
This way!
Marcus hauled on her arm.
We need to get to a place we can defend until my men arrive.
They cut between two collapsed buildings, reaching the towers of the God Circle. Marcus sprinted toward Lerns, wrenching open the tarnished door.
Go!
He pushed her through the crack first, following on her heels. But before they could close it, the cat leapt, slashing claws, driving it inward. They retreated into the center of the space, which was faintly illuminated by the sunlight streaming through holes in the roof. The tiger stalked toward them, lips pulled back to reveal fangs as long as her fingers. The gods have mercy on us, she whispered. Then the floor fell out from under her.